S-P-I-K-E. It has its own meaning, but basically just hold it as the vampire killer, a spike through the heart of that program called the New World Order.
There's a paragraph ahead of that that I'd like to read.
Read whatever you see there. We will share as much as you ones want to stay. Maybe the whole thing.
Bull says, I would rather have my mouth tied around the exhaust pipe of a bus and be dragged all the way from Sandy Valley to Washington, D.C. than ever enter another political arena. I hate politics and politicians, but I am convinced that people must have a choice. I don't want there to be a single American without justification to look into an empty sky and wail, "Why, God, did you bring this terrible tyranny down upon us?" We will deserve everything we either stand or fall for. I don't like it, and I don't know why, but if we can't find a single patriot or politician in Idaho willing to represent the Constitution without compromise in 1994, I will. I pray that God will relieve me of the task, but people will be able to choose their destiny, whether it be as slaves or sovereigns. If the citizens of Idaho would live free, elect someone into the governor's office who would mobilize, if necessary, and secure the state against the rising tide of globalism, maybe voters in other states would follow suit. If not, so be it. Until that decision must be made, I am pressing forward with a series of seminars I call Spike Training. I have called 3 members of my Mission Impossible force back into service for this purpose. I plan to run 10 phases everywhere in this nation that people love liberty enough to defend it. Each phase will consist of 4 2-hour classes. There will be self-defense, general quarters readiness, combat medicine, and special purpose stations. Dick Clark, 26-year Los Angeles PD combatives chief instructor, Navy SEAL Scott Weekly, and Airborne Ranger Gary Goldman will act as principal instructors. We will cover every essential subject from lockpicking to defensive driving. By the time our Spike students have completed the 10 phases, they will be more than prepared to hold things together during perilous times. Additionally, we have identified and acquired all of the best equipment at wholesale. Spike leaders will be able to purchase necessary tools at savings that will pay for their training many times over. Classes will be limited so that everyone gets personal attention. Politics I don't know, but Spike I do. The Spike training will become a part of a program we call Saving America. It is designed to do what United We Stand should, but won't. United We Stand is the name that Ross Perot uses, isn't it?
Yes.
Funds will be raised through the sale of Made in USA products. The profits will allow local chapters to identify and support constitutional candidates for offices at all levels. This means replacing sheriffs who won't keep the populace safe from federal intrusion, mayors, city council commissioners, assembly, representatives, senators, and governors. I don't know whether or not we can save America, but people who complete Spike training will be well prepared to save their own. We haven't started advertising yet, but already we are booked into Utah, Idaho, and Oregon for Spike training and Save America sessions.
There are other ones that we offer that have offered to me, whatever, sir, you need, I'll be there. One is a young man in Alaska who has survival training courses I believe to be as good or the best around. He teaches everything from survival shelters, literally dead until they closed them down the use of automatic weapons. But that gets too touchy. You're not out to start a war or overthrow anything. You're out to reclaim your constitution and your nation. This man's name is Chris Janowski. He has a series of tapes. He has training programs. If you can get to Alaska, they're very, very worth every minute of your time. But Alaska, as I said to Commander Greitz, might as well be Saudi Arabia for most of you. And especially as the economy drops off. Therefore, we would need to be able to help him and give him opportunity and places in wilderness areas where he might show you. EJ's family owns the old Robber's Roost, the Butch Cassidy Sundance Kid hideout in southern Utah. And hundreds of thousands of acres of BLM land where they raise cattle. EJ's brother, AC, getting married today, EJ. Marrying a lovely young physician, doctor, in Amarillo, Texas. And it's time he got his act together and did something worthwhile other than play with Redford over in Africa. He does international pack trips. He can handle logistics for motion pictures, massive numbers of people in outback areas. He handles outreach pack trips into the wilderness. And I want to tell you that land is wilderness. And I want to thank Brian, and only Brian at this point will know why I would thank him. So when you see him, anybody say, "Thank you, Brian," he will know. There are some things that I do not make public because too much repercussion can come to you once if your enemy knows in advance what we're going to do. Can you imagine how quickly something like this could go if you had a coalition formed with people who know what they're doing, can do it, and get, say, the publicity and help of one like Robert Redford, who works for the environment, honor and integrity, but he's not had any reason to come in. Sipapu Odyssey is not enough. It's just another headache. When the student's ready, the teacher would be there. And we've got some students that are ready. And you don't need to turn to some magic. You have what you need. And as I told the commander, funds are very, very slim to zilch at present. But the moment, children, you get your act together, however you spell it, so will I. You've got it waiting. It cannot be released just to go into the hands or coffers of your enemy. You must have it on a basis valid so that you can keep it. And you need the projects within which to hide it. And when I say hide, I don't mean just go stuff it under a rock. I mean it is It is invested there. That's where your projects come in. And I know you feel frustrated and stymied, but none of you are starving at this moment. And most of you have a shelter over your head at this moment. And it's still a time of helping brother for the security of this moment. And we've got to hit it hard. I reminded Commander Greitz that he should have read all of the paper and not just the part that made him mad. Where he felt he had to call me, you know, a reptilian, chameleon. He says, gave you quite a knee-jerking, didn't it? Certainly did. Just exactly as if I'd walked up to him and you are nothing but an Antichrist snake. You see, one should think before they speak. There's some things that are insulting. There are other things that are beyond insulting. And I don't like serpent people. That is the very emblem, the very symbol of all that's evil. And I don't want the ETs dragged into this. This is a host of God. They should not be confused with ETs as presented by Mr. Cooper, etc. You will also remember that I said, vote for Perot so we can overwhelm the system. And all independent candidates should ask the people to do so. And then on the 5th, you go out there and start your campaign for 1996. And so we've wasted. We didn't start on November 5th, did we? Here we are moving toward the end of January. It'll be here before you can blink your eye. So we start now. We don't have to agree. We don't have to be perfection. I would honor what he said. He said, well, I may be going the wrong direction, but at least I'm moving. Well, I would take some exception to that statement. But if you don't get off your ass and move, doesn't matter which direction, does it? You won't get anywhere. So you better believe, precious ones, we are off and running. And I'm volunteering every cotton-picking one of you.
Great.
We'll just wait and see what they need. And they've got it. If they prove some way that they're not worthy, then other ones will come in. I would have another word about one Jerry Gillespie and all of that big to-do and hoopla, etc. Of course there are problems in any campaign, and Bo Greitz had problems at the very highest level of his campaign. Mixed feelings, impulsive actions. But I want to tell you something. The very one that Commander Greitz nailed as being his adversary is the very one who has opened his yap and ruined everything that was done so far with Cosmos. And you will notice that none of the things that were touted on that first call, conference call, or stated on the tape have come to pass. You might as well have given the enemy the map for him to detonate his bombs. Was this intentional? I'm not going into it. It's not. I don't even care. But Jerry Gillespie served with Commander Greitz. And this means he served in the field, where you trust a man with your life or you're dead. And you see that both of them at least are still alive. Does this mean there was nothing wrong with any intent, with anything they did? I make no comment regarding that. And even if there was or was not, you are here today. You never forget what has happened if you can find out what has happened. But you move on. Even if there's partial truth in these other stories, what else are you going to do? Go with Clinton's bunch already chosen? You're going to be stuck with it for a while. I don't see any possibility of him not being inaugurated, do you? Unless it rains too hard or Washington is bombed or something. I don't see them shelling off. I see great strength of CFR people into every high capacity and position in the government. Does that mean that it won't fall down? Absolutely, it will fall down. But I don't know how enough to tell you when. And will you still be intact? Looks pretty bad. The storms you're having along this west coast should tell you something. But the beauty of growing spelt should tell you something else for Tehachapi. You basically have had good wet fall weather. Doesn't mean we're through, and doesn't mean that perfection will happen, but it means that if you quit or you don't go and you don't act, you never know. And if it fails completely, you know that you can do it, and you got busy and did it, and that's moral enough. But you just had experienced one of the worst earthquakes in Japan that they've ever had. And last night at 10:30, there was an earthquake in Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world, near San Francisco. Was a moderate. Ed, get up, please, and tell us what Soltec has written. And elaborate a little bit on photons and tell us why Giandriana will work a little bit Sound intelligent, please.
I was asking a lot right now. I'm not sure what you want me to explain, Commander. Can you give me a hint about making this
physics
lecture?
Well, you talked about free radicals.
Yes.
Just express a little bit why this makes sense to you. Tell us a little bit about humidity and why you need humidity. That's enough. I don't want you to look too good.
In other words, the importance of water?
Yes.
Okay.
Why would it matter at all? Why wouldn't it be better just to have it dry, dry, dry? You wouldn't feel so hot if the temperature's hot. What happens? What are we talking about? What is this thing in these cells?
Well, this came about last night because we were talking about the the deception in the shuttle mission, and I mentioned that it was clear from scientific journals that the satellite that was going up was a X-ray, diffuse X-ray spectrum analyzer, and all that means is something they can go up and think of it as the equivalent of a prism to look at X-rays, just like you take a prism to look at light and see what colors are in it. And the only reason they would run something like that up in the sky is to look at the photon belt. In other words, we're getting closer to it, and they need to map it and see how much time the crooks have to get away with what they need to get away with. In other words, they're plotting their timetable. So after that, I said it's extreme. Then Dharma said something about water and the importance of having humidity for her own comfort, and I said, I'm the same way. And I said, I think what people don't really understand is the importance of water molecules, and that the water molecule is a very important energy transducer. And the reason that plants, for instance, will go dormant at too low a humidity is because you don't have a large enough density of water. Let's just think of a cubic inch of anything, the air. If you don't have enough water in it, there is not enough energy transduction. I don't know how else to put this except call it bringing energy from a higher realm down into yours and emitting it in yours in a way you can use it. It would be the best analogy I could use. So if the water concentration drops too low, guess what? This very free energy that's in the air that you all, every one of your cells uses to function with, quits running. So naturally the plants would quit running. They would go dormant. So it's very simple in its beauty. Now, I also said as we get closer to this photon belt, that the chondriana themselves, or the eondriana.
Thank you.
And they're various. That's the Toltec's man, because I can't say what an island chain is. Archipelago, or whatever the thing's called. I can't say that. Whatever it is, I call it an island chain. Anyway, as we get closer to this photon belt and the amount of this, let's call it X-ray energy and other higher forms of energy bombard the planet more, those little creatures, not just water molecules, but something as intelligent as those little creatures which utilize water and many other things to compose what they build up, are all using that energy. So you who may have the Yandriana in you and have these little creatures running around in you, as that energy starts to bombard you more, guess what? They get more active and more vital, and therefore so do you. So if you happen to be on God's team and you get closer to the photon belt, guess what? Your net power starts going up. Your net energy starts going up. So it's a very, very beautifully simple gift from God that is tapping what the scientists are calling free energy right within inside of you. Now, there are other ways we can tap it too. There are many, many molecules that will transduce this energy in a form that we can use in our vibratory rate in our space here. But the elegance and beauty of water came up because of humidity and moisture and the need for moisture and everything. Do you want me to keep going?
No, that's fine. That's fine. Let's give Soltec and Callie their chance. Do you have?
Yes, we have.
Do you have it?
Yes, I do.
part of the reason that this writing is important is because it is in response partially to some inquiries that have come in here.
I would make two points before I do this. It's unfortunate Nora is not here today. I'll ask her to share something next week with you, but she received a very nice letter from someone who is a let's just call it somebody who's very proficient in the academic world of linguistics, and not only sent a very nice compliment to her, to the Liberator's quality and to what she's writing in the Liberator in terms of its investigative work and the brilliance of the linguistic work she is doing, but also sent a very rare and old Slavic languages dictionary for our use. This is by somebody who's given her a high stamp of approval. And in her humility, as she said to me yesterday, but I don't think of myself as a linguist. And I said, it doesn't matter if you're familiar with technical writing and scientific work. You're doing top-notch scientific work, and here's your verification. So that was one nice note. I wanted her to talk about this, and she's not here today. I'll just mention it, and maybe she can share the letter next week.
Well, we're pleased, and it would embarrass her.
Yes.
So we'll just talk about her while she's gone.
Right on.
Her contribution has been remarkable. All of you must be sensing that. It's making history fun. It's giving meaning and support to what we talk about. It brings it into the reality of believability. And most, when we're dealing with headlines like last week, it's hard to realize the repercussions even from such a thing as proof that Auschwitz gas chamber was built after the war. I mean, after everything, after the Holocaust.
It's true.
That the Holocaust, by its own proving, is a lie. Not that there was no pain, no Holocaust as such. It just could not have been, as they have told you. And that means that the lie has been so magnificent, so tremendous, that it can pull down nations. It can pull down this new world order, because it's all part of the same thing. And unless you have the background, you just read it and deny it. This information with proof has been out for quite a while now. And I'll tell you, you haven't heard it, and you're not going to. They are going to hide it just as long as they can get away with it. And then they'll have excuses. And part of the reason that we push it along farther for the ones who dared to write in the first place, and I urge all of you to get the information mentioned there. Get that spread everywhere. That's the only way the curator of that museum is going to stay alive, is to get it out there so far that they cannot hide it. That someone, somewhere, holds that truth and that proof. We thank Nora gratefully. For years she's been doing this with me. Before she came here, she would write 15, 20 handwritten pages on such things as just what does Yorgo Seri's Hatton mean? Break down each word. What does Sananda mean? She has an inquiring mind. Most of you hate that kind of work, the puzzle searching, to go all the way to Bakersfield or even farther to find the proper encyclopedia or book to reference. And she does it superbly. And I wish to thank her, even in her absence. Now let's share with Soltec and Callie. Callie is growing so, so strong. She's receiving beautifully. And I wish to thank her. And I wish to thank Ed for all the hours spent nurturing that relationship so that we have this information to share from another party, another person, another resource. Rosa, all the way over into Arkansas. More visualization is being given to these ones. More inter-energy relationships so that very frequently, now Rosa is calling to see what is wrong here. And literally visualizing the persons involved. You're getting there, Chilas. Don't be too impatient or too irritated with us because it seems so slow. There's a whole world here, and it's in a hell of a lot of trouble. So please share with us.
Okay. Before I read Soltec's writing this week, I would like to share something I heard on the Khazarian station in San Francisco last night, KCBS, after somebody told me about the earthquake. I put that station on, which is at 7:40 on the AM dial. You can pick it up here anywhere. It's a clear channel, 50,000-watt station. It's equivalent to KNX, only it's up in San Francisco. And anyway, this would be around midnight last night. They were talking about the quake, and by that point, they had been allowed to mention its magnitude, which was alternately mentioned as 5.1 and 5.7, and then something slipped out, which was interesting, because here you have two different camps. You have the U.S. Geologic Survey, which is officially pronouncing it as at 5.1, yet from the amount of damage and the radius over which it was felt, which was strongly up in San Francisco, even though it was centered in Gilroy, down there in the artichoke and garlic areas, which meant if you run a diameter around that, that means almost 100 miles north and south of the epicenter, which means it was very deep. And yet, they're calling it a 5.1, and yet that's the USGS estimate. The Berkeley Seismographic Institute said it was a 5.7, and what slipped out here in the middle of the night between the lines was the Berkeley Seismic Institute still calculates the Richter number the way Richter calculated it. The USGS has another formula, and it shouldn't be any surprise to anybody here that it attenuates the magnitude downward to make it a less major quake. So I just thought I'd mention that. So I don't want to get into a long lecture on calculating this because this is in itself an almost mind-boggling, unbelievably inept and naive way of calculating something. But I'll get all the geologists mad at me if I start talking about that. So I'll let a professor of geology from the higher realms talk to you. So Soltec says, "Good evening, my child. Soltec present in the light of the holy God. Peace be unto you this evening as we address the activities of the past few days. It has been interesting, would you not agree? We of the host of holy God take all attacks and attempts of attacks against our own most seriously. It is not a matter which is open to any discussion with anyone, anywhere, at any time. The elite of your world are fully aware of our stand on this subject, and each time they cross that border, they place themselves in an extremely delicate position with our mission command. Believe us when we say that they do not want to deal with us on this matter. your elite are running for their very lives at this point in time, and they know very well that their time is limited and that they are losing ground rapidly. Is it any wonder that they would bother to strike out against any voice that may have the fortitude to speak up and tell you, the people, the truth of the way things are? The attack against this my scribe speaker on last Saturday, January 9th, was viewed as a personal assault, as is all direct personal attacks against any of our people. The situation has been addressed, and your controllers are now very well aware of our position on this. You see, you do live in a very dangerous world, and the more headway that is made towards freedom and truth, the more flack you ones are likely to encounter. You have been well advised that the battle has heated up, and that this year will likely be one you will not soon be able to forget. Your strange weather occurrences should be enough in itself to get your attention. In the past 48 hours, that part of California known as Marin County, which is just a slight bit north of San Francisco, has received an excess of 5 inches of rain, and more is predicted for the next 5 days. The deserts are literally soaked and flooded, and the Midwest is still digging itself out from beneath a terribly strong snowstorm. These strange weather patterns are only the beginning of what is in store for you in the next months. Our advice is to batten down the hatches and hold on tight, because it is only going to get more interesting on your placement. You are living in the time when all things are changing, both from natural events and man-made ones. Past data can no longer be used to predict future events, as all things are out of their proper sequence. You would have to go back several thousand years to the time of the last earth changes to see the correlations to that which is occurring at this time on earth. At this time, man chose to ignore God, the order of creation, and got himself into much the same state of affairs as is present on earth today. The planet at that time reacted much the same way as it is today, and went through a long period of cleansing. This cleansing took the form of extreme weather changes, massive volcanic eruptions, and widespread destructive earthquakes, as well as widespread, strange, deadly diseases. Yet it was through this destruction that the Earth was able to renew and rebuild life. A planet is a living organism, regardless of what your religious preachers spout. In all creation, there is order, and when radical entities act in ways that are contrary to that order, creation just goes on creating. If that act of creating destroys life, then that life was not living in balance and at one with the creation. For had that life been in balance and at one with creation, it could never have been destroyed, for creation does not destroy itself. Earth man, however, is not in a balanced relationship with his creator. Therefore, as creation continues on its natural course and man lives in opposition to that creation, then man will be his own destruction. It is actually very simple. All must come into the knowledge that they are a part of creation, for otherwise they will cease to be by their own choices. Creation does not destroy, it simply creates over and over again. Sometimes that creation may appear to be destruction, but only for a period of time. For out of what is perceived as destruction, new life is created. Earthman of today has managed to upset the balance of his world to the point that the world has become a very unpredictable and hostile place for him to live. But it is the time of accounting, and you are experiencing the payment for your past actions. Though we are not in the habit of quoting much from your Bible, I shall at this time. Does it not say that it shall rain on the just and the unjust? Look around you. Is it not falling on all, both the just and the unjust? God does not judge. Man judges himself by his own words, actions, and thoughts. You have been very busy this day. You have launched another shuttle mission, and you have once again managed to get yourselves involved in another air battle over Iraq. So you are now involved in Somalia and in Iraq and are about to commit troops to Bosnia, and just in time for your new president to take office. How convenient. As I stated earlier, just hold on tight, for you are in for the ride of your lives. My scribe is in receipt of a letter from one called Pat, who has posed the most interesting and thought-provoking question regarding a place on your world known as the Great Rift Valley in Africa, and in particular, a place called Lake Victoria. The Great Rift Valley runs through the eastern part of the plateau region of Africa, from northern Ethiopia into Mozambique. It is a series of deep trenches that were created by faulting of the Earth's surface. In several areas, the steep sides of the valley appear as mountains, among which are the Ruwenzori Mountains in Central Africa. Associated with the faulted valleys are several volcanoes, including Kilimanjaro in Tanzania and Mount Kenya in Kenya. This Great Rift Valley is the principal lake region of the continent, and among these is Lake Victoria, Africa's largest lake and the chief source of the White Nile River. At one time in your planet's history, all the land was one continent. However, during one of the Earth change cycles, the poles shifted and the Earth literally tipped. This tipping action caused much geologic activity to begin, and through this activity, pieces of land broke away from the main land mass and became separate continents. This is when the Great Rift Valley was formed, and it is a remnant of that separating. This fault is what is known as a transform fault, which in this case is a tectonic plate boundary, just as is the San Andreas Fault in California. The area was thought to be dormant, geologically speaking, but that was in the past. As we are attempting to inform you, the entire Earth is in the beginning of a whole new geologically active cycle, and those places thought to be long dead are experiencing renewed life. This place, then, can be expected to come to life as well. The bottom of the Lake Victoria is rising, as was surmised by Pat. It is due to the geologic activity known as uplifting, which is the ground beneath the lake pushing upward, giving the impression that the water level in the lake is rising. The entire region of Eastern Africa and Middle East are riddled by faults, both transform and subducting. Therefore, the likelihood of newly discovered geologic activity in this entire area is quite high, with the other events of geologic activity accelerating so rapidly on your planet. It is also noted that in the same general area, thousands of bats once lived and thrived, but recently all the bats have left and not returned. This too should be an indication to you that something is definitely going on. Bats are extremely sensitive to ultra-high sound frequencies, those which humans cannot hear audibly. Since radical changes in frequencies most often accompany earthquake activity, it is a good bet that these little mammals know something. Recall, if you will, that I have previously stated, recall, if you will, what I have previously stated regarding the relationship of the habits of the animals and earth changes. In other words, he's told us, watch the animals.
Also, something he hasn't mentioned. In the areas where bats will roost, will be the first areas where toxins, toxic fumes, will begin to present themselves. So you've got two things going. They will respond, first of all, to frequency, but they also respond to the frequencies that come as Earth begins to open, and then knowingly they will be fumigated. So they're smart enough to get out. Go on, please.
Okay. We do appreciate the questions from you ones, as it shows that you are doing some thinking and digging on your own. As you develop in your sensitivities, you will be able to glean the answers on your own as you tune in and listen. All have the ability, it simply must be developed, and like anything else, it can only come through the doing. You must exercise that ability and build it until it is strong. If you will, you must do your spiritual aerobics. That's a Soltec. Let us bring this writing to a close. Thank you for your attentiveness and your stamina. Keep your heart joyous and be of good cheer, little ones. Know that God is ever with you in these times of tribulation, and allow your light to shine forth in truth unto your darkened world. Soltec to clear. Salud.
Salud. Thank you, Tonio.
We have a minute.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you all. Salud. Good day. Overly's run me out of time.
You've got 40 seconds.
We're getting there. We really are getting there. Let's just try to hold ourselves together. It's hard, I know that. But we can do it.
We're with you.